The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today, this day in June. June is Pride Month.
It's Pride Month. It's Pride Month. But I have to gloat for a minute because I'm an auntie today.
Oh, yay!
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super... You guys, I'm exhausted. So if I'm not as... I don't know. If I sound tired, it's because I was in the hospital for a couple days with my sister and her fiance. And there was a little drama. You know, it was a little touch and go at times. She had to be induced and all that kind of stuff, and you know.
Was she over her due date?
Well, she was due on Sunday.
Okay.
The 10th. She went in on Tuesday for her routine, you know, appointment, and the doctor's like, your amniotic fluid is low, let's hook you up, let's check the baby for 20 minutes, and then she texted me and she's like, they're going to induce me, they're keeping me here. Mm. So it was from Tuesday, you know, 11 a.m. appointment until last night at 11:16 p.m., which was Wednesday night. She literally, Christy, almost had a C-section. Like, I was on my way back from eating dinner with my dad and my stepmom, and she texted, her fiance texted us, like, oh, we're sleeping, you know.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, cool, we'll wait. We'll wait for a little while. We won't come in.
No need to rush.
Yeah, no need to rush. And all of a sudden he calls me and he's like, can you please come in the room? And he hung up and I'm like, what? And then I'm like rushing. And it was after hours and I had to enter through the ER. And then they wouldn't open the door to the, you know, labor and delivery. And then he's texting me like, they're talking about a C-section, hurry. And I'm like, oh my God. Like I was running in. And I run in the door and I hear the doctor say, okay, Jennifer, push. And I'm like, what? And then, boom, right into pushing. The heart rate got super high. I guess it stressed out the doctor. The doctor was worried, but whatever. It was very dramatic. And she pushed for over an hour, a little over an hour. And then I had my baby girl!
And what's her name?
Her name is Viviana Michelle Ackerman Della Campa.
Well, look at you, middle name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And as soon as she was born, they were like crying, will you please be her godmother? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, sure.
So much emotion in the delivery room.
Oh, my gosh. It was so cool and exhausting, but awesome. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations and welcome, baby Viviana Michelle, to the world.
All right, that's enough of that gloating. I'm super excited. I can't wait to see her. I'm dying to see her. I can't see her today. I mean, I'm going to see her today, but not till like, I don't know, 6 o'clock.
Well, she's going to come home tomorrow, right? They only get 2 days now.
Well, that's what I said. And the nurse is like, oh, you'll go home on Sunday. I'm like, what? She'll go home on Saturday latest.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. Anyway. So yes, it's Pride Month.
Yes, June is Pride Month. And here I was in New Orleans recently and they were doing their Pride Parade there. And I missed the Fort Worth festivities here. But Dallas, I think I missed Fort Worth. Maybe I didn't. Dallas does Pride in September. They're one of the only cities in the country that doesn't. I mean, the whole month of June is like Pride Month. But they don't do their parade and their big like weekend festival until September. And the reasoning for that, I guess, is because someone thought it was not as like ridiculously hot and muggy and miserable in September. But it's not totally true. Every time we've done a Pride parade in Dallas, it's been hot and sweaty and humid and miserable. And nobody cares because everyone's so happy. But it's like it wasn't this much hotter or cooler in June versus September. They're pretty much the same thing. So I don't know. The logic is lost, but it does enable more people to go to more pride parades and festivals. And like, if they're representing a group or whatever, they can hit up multiple celebrations because ours is so late in the year.
Well, the San Francisco is June 23rd.
Yes, yeah, San Francisco's pride is huge. One of the best, of course. And I remember when I didn't live in San Francisco yet, I was in my senior year of college and we were considering, like my group of friends, we were considering where we were going to move. And it kind of comes down to LA or San Francisco for various reasons. And, you know, we were all actors and stuff. And we came up to visit during Pride. So I guess it must have been right before my senior year because it was in the summer. And we came up to San Francisco and it happened to be Pride weekend. So it was craziness everywhere. And like getting around was a zoo. And it was my first time to experience San Francisco, like as a adult, I guess. And, but also kind of looking at it as like, can we live here? Can we move here? Can we do this? And a yeah. bunch of my friends had family members up in Northern California, but some actually in the city of San Francisco. And we stayed with them. And we went down to City Hall on the Sunday of the parade. And no joke, I have a memory, and I was 20 years old, of being in the middle of the parade in downtown San Francisco, like on a in an intersection that was all blocked off. And there was this just impromptu dance party. And the parade was going by, and people were children and like old people and like all races. And everyone was like dancing in the middle of the street. And I looked up at the sky and like saw the tall buildings and I'm like spinning around and you're just like blissfully happy and surrounded by all these like amazing, creative, just glorious people. And I knew in that moment I was going to live in San Francisco after, like there was no question. Like I had to live here. I had to feel that energy. And then we moved the next year. So
that's so cool.
And we made Pride a priority, like our group of friends went every year to support our friends and, you know, be a part of that kind of like anything goes, everyone's welcome, you know, vibe. It's powerful and wonderful. And I just love it. And Michelle and I, when we were telling you, our listeners, like thinking about what we could record. We've been posting a lot of same-sex weddings on our social media this month in like commemoration of Pride Month. And I think a lot of wedding industry people do that. And some of it feels almost like obligatory, like, oh, it's Pride Month. I've worked with a gay couple. I'll throw them up on my Instagram. But I wanted to do this episode specifically to talk about how straight couples or, you know, even traditional straight couples might be able to learn a thing or two or take some from what gay couples are doing with their weddings right now. And we talked a little bit about this with the author of The Feminist Bride, remember when she was on?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about.
About how these rules are changing, rules and traditions and like turning things on their heads and working with what is important to you to include in your ceremony and not necessarily what you're supposed to do or what you've been told you're supposed to do, and how, you know, millennials are changing the game and just weddings are evolving. But the fact that gay marriage is legal now has opened up just the floodgates for how gay couples can make weddings their own and speak to their own values and traditions and their own identity. And we fucking love it. And we're here for all of it. And we always have been. But I definitely find myself talking to more of my straight couples, too, about like ways that they can express themselves, because I've seen it done and I've seen it done well and in a really cool way with gay couples. Even just how they like come to wedding planning and their perspective when they're planning their wedding. So I think this is exciting. I mean, I could talk about this all day. So if you're listening and this episode like jumped out at you for these reasons, we're really into it.
Yes.
No guest. I wrote on our outline, no guest today. It's just us bitches.
Just us bitches. Just us bitches or just us bitches.
It's both. I did not put in pronunciation or grammar on that one. Okay. So I did like copy and paste a little bit of Pride Month history, like where it came from and what it was initially for. So I'm going to read this little blurb. Basically, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month is currently celebrated every year in the month of June, and it honors a 1969 riot that went on outside of a gay club and in a gay club in Manhattan. It was called the Stonewall Riots. And this was a tipping point for the gay liberation movement in the United States. And now, on the last Sunday in June, which that was initially the Gay Pride Day, but now it's much more flexible and it's, you know, encapsulates the whole month. In major cities across the nation, we have a month-long series of events. It includes pride parades, picnics, parties, workshops, symposia, concerts, and it attracts millions of participants all over the world. Memorials are also held this month for members of the community who have been lost to hate crimes or HIV and AIDS, and most recently, the Pulse nightclub massacre. And the purpose of the commemorative month is to recognize the impact that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals have had on history locally, nationally, and internationally. And I wanted to note that Michelle and I, and I'm talking about you like you're not here, but I'm going on my monologue. As allies and straight cisgender female allies, we recognize our place and respect our place during these pride festivities and ceremonies. We know it's an event that's an opportunity to discuss the history of LGBT advocacy and to show the diversity of the whole community. But I try to be really conscious of not just going out there like it's some big
party,
you know, big giant party where everyone is just like wearing rainbows and drinking mimosas and, you know, there's boys in Speedos on floats. I have been a part of the Dallas and Fort Worth Gay Pride parades myself as a part of PFLAG, which is the Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And it's a bunch of like moms, like my mom and grandmas, whose sons or daughters, for the most part, that's what our group is made up of, are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. And it's a support group, basically. We love our people. We love our families, no matter who they love, no matter who they are. And it's sometimes the first place that parents go when their kids come out. Like, my son just came out to me. I'm terrified, or I'm angry, or my husband's not speaking to him, or whatever it is. And they'll call their local PFLAG chapter to find out more about their son's sexuality and what it's like to be a parent of someone in the community. So I march in these parades and they're amazing. And my kids are next to me and we all have a great time. And we hold signs that say, I love my gay brother. You know, I love my gay uncle. And my parents give hugs to everyone. And the community really loves the PFLAG parents because everyone wishes they had parents that like were that yours. Supportive. Yeah, it's really amazing. But I also come at these events as a, like, I get to be a part of some of these people's, some of this group's wedding days. So that's super exciting also. And same-sex weddings and same-sex marriage has been a part of both of our businesses well before the Supreme Court ruled that it was legal across the nation. So it's important to both of us personally. It always was. I mean, you would never have said you wouldn't have done a gay wedding. Even back when it was 10 years prior to it being legal.
No, absolutely not. And actually, Christy, last year was the first year I actually had a gay wedding. I had two last year. So mm-hmm. I had not had the opportunity up until then. And like Jenny, my best friend, my other best friend is Matt, and he's gay. And he works, you know, in a... So Matt works at Strut, which is, they say it's the home for health and wellness in the heart of the Castro. It was opened by the San Francisco AIDS Foundation to promote health and wellness, to strengthen our diverse communities, and to reduce the impact of HIV in San Francisco. So it's anything for the LGBTQ community. You can go in. I go in there all the time. There's condoms. There's lube. But there's also, like... services, you know, counseling services. There's STD testing. There's all sorts. I think they do like
lawyer referrals.
Yeah. They do everything. Any services for the community, and it's fantastic. And I've always been like, Matt, you know, like, don't you have anybody coming in there that's getting married? Like, hello, refer me.
Yeah.
But I haven't had the opportunity before last year, and it was so, I was so happy. I did a lesbian wedding, two women, I did two men's wedding, and it was just, I love them. They're fantastic. It's just so much fun. And I learned so much, you know, in doing that. And all the years I've been wedding planning, but I learned so much with those two weddings last year.
Yeah. It's been like, I hear people say like, oh, you know, won't it be nice when one day we won't call it a gay wedding? It'll just be called a wedding. And I get that. And I'm on board with that. That sounds great one day. But for now, I don't see it as like, they're all the same. It's people getting married. It's the same thing. No.
It deserves that right now. It deserves right now
because
that.
This generation is the first that's able to do it legally and be recognized. Not just do it legally, because some states you've been able to do that for many years now, but it wasn't recognized if you moved anywhere else.
Yeah.
So if you got married in Massachusetts and it wasn't legal, you know, it wasn't recognized if you were in Ohio, which is actually where the final Supreme Court case originated, was a story like that. We'll go into that in a second, but it's this group of people since 2015 that have gotten married legally. It is different. It is a big deal. Yes. They are able to say for the first time, we're doing this just like everybody else has been able to do it, with an officiant in front of our friends and family, and we're signing a piece of paper afterwards that makes it legal and no one can take that away from us.
Right.
And it's powerful, and it means that we are working with clients who have already been together for 10, 20, or 30 years, and that's incredible. Like, that experience is, it's like a vow renewal and a wedding at the same time because they've already done it. And I get asked all the time, what my favorite wedding is. And that's one of those, like, you know, cocktail hour conversations you just have with people, like, oh, you're a wedding planner. What's been your favorite wedding? And while I am, you know, you don't want to ever like choose favorites, like choosing a favorite kid or whatever. One, if I'm being honest, and one wedding is hands down been my favorite. And it was because these two men had been, well, for many, many reasons, they're lovely. And they came into my life at a time where I was doubting whether I was going to even keep being a wedding planner, but they hired me, and they are men in their 50s, and they had already been together for 27 years when the Supreme Court made their ruling. And then they kind of looked at each other and were like, should we get married? We did not think we could do this. We hadn't even considered it. We live together. We have a life together. But marriage, that makes some things easier, like their wills and their, you know, some of their healthcare choices. And this is Texas, so, you know, every state's a little bit different. I would say Texas is pretty far down on the list of states that has a lot of work left to do. But their wedding was not a $1 million wedding. It was nothing like a crazy over the top. It was a New Year's Eve wedding. I have pictures on my website. It was fun and it was filled with love. But they invited 200 people. And they told me, we're inviting 200. We expect 150. And I just looked at them. And this was in one of our first meetings. And I said, you're having a New Year's Eve wedding. You're inviting people that have known you guys both for a long time. And you're getting married after 27 years. I guarantee you, you're going to have more than 150 people RSVP yes. And they had 200 people.
Wow.
RSVP, yes. It's the only wedding I've ever done.
Not
where
one
it was
drop
like
off.
Every single person they invited came.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, you know, and then their vows to each other and all of it was just, it made my heart like grow a size. And that piece of paper was important to them. And now, 2 years later, one of them is actually going through some debilitating health issues. Like, it could go either way. He's undergoing experimental treatment. It's really tough times. And I know that the fact that they're married and they can put spouse on official paperwork, is important to them and is coming into play now, you know, sooner than they thought it would. But that is why this kind of stuff matters. That's why it has always mattered. So that is, you know, my easy answer for my favorite wedding. Every word that they said to each other felt weighted and elevated at the same time because they'd already had a lifetime together. You just can't get that when you've only known a person for 3 or 4 years and you're choosing to spend the rest of your life with them at that point. It's not taking anything away from straight traditional weddings of, you know, people in their 20s by any means, but there is another layer of life when they've been together for that long already.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like to have that. That's why I say, like, they deserve this celebration right now. They deserve to, for us to say it's a same sex wedding, you know, because like people take, you know, people, you want to get engaged. When you and Lance got engaged,
you take it,
like,
for granted.
Yeah. I don't know when we'll see, like, and for all different reasons. Right. But then you just know, like, it's there when I want to do it. Like, there's no, nobody can stop me from that. You know, I'll buy a ring and I'll get, you know, and we'll get engaged. But for this community, it's just huge. And I want it to be celebrated. So let's break it down and, you know, tell these straight people what they could be learning.
Well, okay. Yeah. Because that's the thing. As wedding planners, we love this because we have big hearts and we love people. But also we love it because a gay wedding means a gay wedding ceremony. And that means you got to change some of the rules up. You got to start, like, looking at new traditions and how you want to do something, because it's not like there's not a map for you. The groom stands at the altar and the bride is walked in by her father down the aisle where her father gives her away to the groom. That's not going to happen. So it's up to that couple and us as wedding planners to sort of, like, figure out then, which is so exciting for us because, you know, we love weddings, but you go to 100 of them, they kind of all start to, like, feel a little bit the same. And the idea of, you know, telling either one of us as wedding planners, like, yeah, we're thinking, we don't know who should enter. And what do you think? Can we do two aisles? Can we walk down the aisle together? Can we meet in the middle? Can we come up from sides of the altar? Can we do a ceremony in the round? There's all these ideas. You know, it's not that straight couples can't do this, but they're necessary for a gay couple to make the conscious choice. Like, it's not just an obvious choice. Yeah, he'll walk in and I'll stand here. It's more than that. They have to really think about it and decide what feels right for them. And so in a way, we get to, like, problem solve a little bit, like, how best to represent couple.
It's experimentation and, like, you know, coming up with new things. And that for us in and of itself is exciting, right? When we get to do something different and new. But I have to tell you, like, you, Christy, you know, are like, for me, you're my expert go-to because you're deep-seated in the community, your brother and your family being in PFLAG and you being a part of that. And then you had done gay weddings already. So last year, I remember when I was going to meet with Lindsay and Stephanie, or I was going to actually have a Skype meeting with them. I emailed you, or I think I texted you. I was like, just tell me if there's any words I should or should not be using. I just want to be mindful and inclusive. And, you know, because we had talked to Bernadette about that. And you actually, you've done some public speaking for Bernadette, right?
Yeah, based on her program, and we'll include links to all of this. That's at Gay Wedding Institute, and Bernadette Smith runs 14 Stories, which is, like, the eminent gay wedding planning company, doing it long before it was legal, and kind of my mentor, and that was episode 7 that we did with her. But your questions, like, I want to be mindful and inclusive. That's the reason why I did the speaking here, because imagine, like, you lived in San Francisco and then you went to Boston. You were in locations that are open and accepting. Imagine an entire wedding industry in Dallas, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, where not only had most of the industry people here, and florists, photographers, officiants, wedding planners, not only had they not, most of them had never done a gay wedding because it wasn't, no one was doing them here. a lot of them don't even, they would say like, I don't even know anybody that's gay. I don't even have any gay friends. And I'd always be like, yes, you do. You do. You may not know it, but you do. And in the wedding industry, you know, similar to like the theater industry and working in theater before I was a wedding planner, you don't assume anything. I wouldn't assume anything. I wouldn't assume anything about someone's sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, why would you?
Either way.
Yeah.
But I was, I guess, but in Texas, it's just assumed unless somebody is overt about it, and that, which is a stereotype, it's assumed if somebody calls you on the phone, oh, I'm interested in your wedding photography package. I am a woman. You would just assume she's a woman marrying a man. So my whole, like, speaking little tour that I did here with my slideshow and my Q&A was mostly to say to industry people, these are the ways that gay weddings are different. These are the ways that they're totally the same. This is what you should have on your website if you want to, you know, be open to gay couples. These are signs and ways that websites or your promotions might say to a gay couple, like, oh, I don't think this person's going to be open to that, so I'm not going to call them. But it was about all of that, but mostly, like what you said, I was trying to make sure that when anybody talks to a gay couple, an LGBTQI, anybody that identifies as under the umbrella, my whole goal was that when we speak, we speak a little bit more, we're a little bit more sensitive, we're a little bit more knowledgeable, and we're kind. That seems like the best wisdom that I could impart on my peers here in Texas. But what surprised me was that I got a lot more than that. I got people who were like, how exactly do I change the wording on my websites to be inclusive and open and to attract gay couples? And that was heartening, of course. And I love to see that. But yeah, the most fun stuff to talk about with other wedding planners is how couples are doing things a little differently. So we have the walking in on the aisle. You know, if you're a straight couple and you're listening to this and you imagine yourself being walked in by your dad and all of the traditional, typical wedding ceremony elements, and that feels good to you and that's what you envision, then that's what you should do. But if you've ever felt like, oh, maybe that isn't for me, or I'm 45 years old and I've already been married once, I don't want my dad to give me away, that doesn't feel right, then the whole point of this topic was to show you, like, there are other ways to do this, and you might be able to take a thing or two from a gay couple who's figured it out and figured out what's worked for them. So walking down the aisle and how the ceremony goes, that was one, how the ceremony starts, that was one part of a big element. The other, one of the other elements that we're seeing for ceremonies with gay couples is a champagne toast, or a toast, it could be tequila if that's what you're into. But a toast in the ceremony, in the, either in the middle of the ceremony or right before the ceremony or to end the ceremony. And that requires a little bit of logistics. You might have somebody with a small satellite bar pouring champagne as guests arrive and giving everyone some champagne, have some sparkling cider for the kids and the people who don't drink. Or you have passed champagne down the aisle during the time where the toast is about to happen. And the way that this came about, from my understanding, is that when gay ceremonies were, people were doing them, but they weren't legal. They were doing them there, like, we're going to have a party and we're going to get married, but we aren't going to sign anything because, you know, we don't do that. And I did do a couple of those before it was legal. But it's the idea of a toast to be including your people that are there, your guests. Like, we're all in this together. We're up here saying we're going to do this. Do you all support us? And the origins of that is in that sometimes when gay couples get married, they don't maybe have their parents and grandparents or brothers and sisters there for them. It's their chosen family if they've, you know, not been accepted by their family. So I think that's kind of where it came from. And now we're seeing it more as like something to embrace as a nod to a new tradition that LGBT weddings are doing, because I get gay couples who are in their 20s who are like, what are gay couples doing? What should we do? Like, what's a gay thing to do during a wedding ceremony? And I always say a toast, because it's easy and it's elegant and it's celebratory. And many times you know, most of your guests haven't done that before in the as a part of the actual ceremony. So it's a way to like raise your glasses together, you there with your people who accept you and who are supporting you in your marriage and who are going to be there for you. So I think it's really beautiful. I've seen it done, you know, really well and kind of emotional. I've seen it very, very celebratory, like another just, you know, toast during the reception. And I've also seen straight couples do it and they know where it came from. And I think it's awesome.
Who did you say this? Who usually makes the toast?
The officiant or the people getting married. Yeah. And it's like a turn towards your people. Just like we talked about with that one ceremony where the bride and groom in this case turned towards all the guests and
tell that story. Well,
we didn't do a toast for that one, but it was like the officiant directed them to, they had written their own ceremony with this non-professional officiant, but she instructed them to turn towards their guests. And I was a guest at this wedding and to stand there and to take it all in. And then she instructed us as guests. I always get goosebumps when I tell the story because it was so poignant at the time. She instructed all of us like something along the lines of like, you are their village. You are their people. You are their families. They look towards you. They respect the relationships you're in. And they're here today with open hearts and are overwhelmed by the love and support that you've given them. So if everyone takes a moment to just shoot all that positive energy and love up to, you know, Dre and Andrea, as it was, and we're just going to make eye contact and we're going to take a moment. And the two of them really did look every single person in the eyes. And it probably took 2 or 3 minutes, but everyone was just sitting there like smiling. I mean, I looked around and it was like, there was not a dry eye. It was just so profound. And you felt like, it's almost like going to the theater. When you see a really good play, you feel like, oh, we, all the people in here, this 200 people audience, we were just a part of something that's never going to happen again. It happened one time. And you feel that way at these kind of ceremonies. So the toast in the middle has that feel to it. Like, let's recognize what we're doing right now. So it's not just two people up here saying something to each other. It's them also asking their friends and family to be a part of it with them. And you can see why that would be really profound for a couple if one or both of them were estranged from their families. So a champagne toast, that's something to consider.
So that's one to consider for you.
Yeah, and then the aisle situation and who gives away who and should we walk down the aisle together.
I mean, look at Meghan Markle even.
How did your couples do it?
Well, so Lindsay and Stephanie, originally Stephanie, her dad was going to walk her down the aisle. And Lindsay was going to wait with her wedding party at the front for her to come down. And then at the very last minute, Lindsay changed her mind and she asked her dad, will you walk me also?
Mm-hmm.
And so Lindsay walked in first and her dad was, oh man, the smile in his, he was so, so happy. I know that family personally. And so it was just, I love that wedding. So then dad walked Lindsay down the aisle and Lindsay was wearing, you know, a beautifully tailored suit, vest, bow tie. And, you know, they just went arm in arm down the aisle and her dad, you know, they hugged each other and it was beautiful. And then Stephanie in her wedding gown, beautiful wedding gown with, you know, a sage green sash and her beautiful bouquet and walked down. And it was just lovely. And then Michael and Kevin walked in together.
Hmm.
So
and walked out together.
They walked out. Yeah, sorry. They walked out together. So Lindsay and Stephanie was outside. So was Michael. And Kevin, Lindsay and Stephanie was on the beach. They rented a big house in P-Town, Provincetown, Mass. If you guys ever go to Boston and want to go have a lot of fun, take a ferry ride out to P-Town. It is the best. So they got married in P-Town. And then Michael and Kevin did as well. But they got married at the Pilgrim Monument. So it's this big, huge, tall monument. And there's like a cutout in the middle. And you can take these stairs all the way to the top. So they entered from through the monument. So they grabbed hands and they walked in together. And then after the ceremony, it's the same way they walked out, and it was beautiful. They saw each other beforehand. Lindsay and Stephanie did not see each other beforehand. I mean, they saw each other that morning, but it wasn't till ceremony time that they saw each other.
Yeah, that was actually the other thing I was going to mention is the getting ready part is often different. And I have great pictures of that, you know, my favorite couple, that couple I was talking about that been together for 27 years. They got ready in the same room together. And I have great photos of them like adjusting each other's bow ties and, you know, helping each other with the cufflinks. And it felt very ceremonial in that way of like getting these things on, these, you know, accoutrement or whatever that word is, like these things you don't normally wear and you're conscious of, like we, you know, they opened a box that had the cufflinks in them and they polished their shoes together and like dressed up for the occasion together. So that's another thing that gay couples they're not usually doing the, like, let's not see each other the night before and get ready separately. It's usually together. And I have had couples that do more the female couples I've had that do most of the getting ready together and then they do the last part separately. Mm-hmm. That's happened several times so that when they see each other, there is still that reveal with the dresses and or the suits and hair and makeup and like kind of the final touches, look. So that's slightly different. And the other thing that we really have to work on a lot and that's fun and creative is the vows.
Wait, can I ask you, have you ever done two aisles?
You know, I've not. The venues haven't, and I was thinking about that. The venues have been pretty traditionally set up where my gay weddings have been, but I'm working with guys now, two couples of gay men, both couples. One's coming up in September and one's next year, and they are both really loving the idea of changing it up, probably doing a T-shaped
where
they come in
and meet in the middle,
in the back,
meet in the aisle.
Meet in the middle and walk down
together.
I
love that.
And that is because they want to walk towards each other. Both of them loved the idea of seeing not one person standing and watching the other person walk in, but walking towards each other and their guests being able to watch
I that. Love that. I wish more couples would do that. I think that's so. And, you know, in a church, that's possible because there's generally in big churches that middle
room at the back.
Yeah, break in the pews or the seating.
Yeah.
Not even in the back. Sometimes it's in the middle, like Mission Dolores, where I got married. It's so long that there's a break right in the middle of the pews, and you could actually do that. So I love that. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, I love that too, and I'm excited to work with both of them to do that. And they, like, in talking about the vows, they have every couple I've worked with has expressed like kind of anxiety about the vows because it is so. It's such a priority and it's so important to them, the words that are said. Oftentimes it's not the traditional wedding vows. It's not usually religious at all. So how do you make it, how do you keep the like sanctity of this being a wedding ceremony and not just a speech, and yet say things a little bit differently? And one of those things that every couple that I've worked with has included in their ceremony in one place or another. And several of my straight friends and clients have done this as well, because it's such a beautiful statement. If they have, like, I know my best friend included this because she has so many friends from the community and wanted to make sure that they felt included in the language that was used for their ceremony. So this is a quote from Justice Kennedy, who kind of made the landmark ruling speech when in 2015 it was decided that gay couples will be recognized as legal weddings. So this was Justice Kennedy, and this is the quote that's used a lot, at least a part of it. No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than once they were. As some of the petitioners in these cases demonstrate, marriage embodies a love that may endure even past death. It would misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the idea of marriage. Their plea is that they do respect it so deeply that they seek to find its fulfillment for themselves. Their hope is not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right.
That's so beautiful. That's so amazing.
It's so beautiful. A lot of people don't know this, but there were many, many cases that led to the final ruling by the Supreme Court. And he's mentioning some of these when he talks about even past death, because the one case that made it all the way to be this landmark civil rights case for the Supreme Court, it came out of Ohio. Remember when John Kasich ran for, he was one of the Republicans that wanted to be the presidential nominee 2 years ago. Kasich was his last name. Everyone said he's like the even-keeled Republican. And then ultimately he lost the nomination to Donald Trump. But he was the governor. He had a lot to do. I think he was the governor, but it was in Ohio. And one of these cases was against him because it was this couple versus Kasich, the state at the time. The court case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court and that this Justice Kennedy quote is from was called the Obergefell versus Hodges mm-hmm. case. And Obergefell was a gay man who had married his partner on an airplane tarmac because they flew to a state. I believe they flew to Massachusetts, but I don't want to get that wrong. They lived in Ohio where gay marriage was not allowed. They flew to get married before Obergefell's partner died because he had been diagnosed with ALS and he did not have much time left. And it was like, we want to be married before you die. And the reason they wanted that largely was because Obergefell wanted to be able to be on his partner's death certificate, which is heartbreaking, of course. And they got married legally. And then I think it might've been Maryland where they got married. But anyways, they got married legally, and then his partner died 3 months later. And in Ohio, they wouldn't let him put spouse on the death certificate because they wouldn't recognize his marriage because it came from another state. But if they had been a straight couple, they would have recognized their marriage from another state. You don't have to get married in Ohio to live in Ohio as a married couple, of course. So when it went to the Ohio courts, they ruled and said, no, they were married somewhere else and then they came here. So they are allowed to do it, even though Ohio doesn't marry same-sex couples. We should recognize it. They were married somewhere else and we should put them on the death certificate. And then it got all the way further up and it was refused again. They said, no, you don't get to put your name on his death certificate. So it went to the Supreme Court after that. So it was kind of a sad story for why it got all the way up there. But in the end, that's what Kennedy is saying. These people want to be a part of this because they have a love that endures past death. And we allow straight couples to do this and to feel this, and we should be inclusive for everyone. So that's kind of in a nutshell. But I definitely encourage anybody that's interested in this at all to look it up, like Google Obergefell versus Hodges, or even Google Supreme Court gay marriage ruling, and you'll find out a lot about how it got to that point and what other cases, you know, made a difference into getting to this final decision. And I'll include links to some really great articles that I found and also just articles about pride and what it means. And we'll include that quote, that full quote, in our show notes as well.
So I wanted to share with you, with all of you, one of my couples that got married last year, they had an awesome, you know, they wrote their ceremony and it was really great. They have dogs. And so they had like this reading about dogs in it and, lots of different readings. But this one also is another important case, Goodrich versus Department of Health. And, the Goodrich versus Department of Health is a landmark state appellate court case dealing with same-sex marriage in Massachusetts. So The November 18th, 2003 decision was the first by a U.S. state's highest court to find that same-sex couples had the right to marry. So this is how Massachusetts became the first state, right? Despite numerous attempts to delay the ruling and to reverse it, the first marriage licenses were issued to same-sex couples on May 17th, 2004, and the ruling has been in full effect since that date. And so what they chose to have as a reading was this. It's short and sweet, but it said, the person got up and read and said, "Many of you know that today was made possible due to an important 2003 Massachusetts SJC decision, Supreme Justice Court decision on same-sex marriage, Goodrich versus Department of Health, which held that civil marriage is a step above any other relationship, such as civil unions. Marriage is of constitutional proportions." So remember when civil unions, you know, versus marriage. So here's the quote. "Marriage is a vital social institution. The exclusive commitment of two individuals to each other nurtures love and mutual support. It brings stability to our society. For those who choose to marry, marriage provides an abundance of legal, financial, and social benefits. Without question, civil marriage enhances the welfare of the community. It is a social institution of the highest importance."
And that, again, is like what you said earlier. That is why we still embrace and make a big deal out of a same-sex wedding being different than a traditional wedding.
Yep.
These choices just weren't available, and now they are, and it's a huge deal. It was a huge step in the right direction, probably 50, 60, 70, 100 years too late, and now it's happened, and people who never thought that they could have that piece of paper that said that they're equal to all of their friends and everybody else who's ever gotten married in America, they never thought they could have that piece of paper, and now they can, and they don't. It's not a decision that's made lightly. And it just feels different. If you've been to as many straight weddings as we've been to, and then you go to a gay wedding, it's undeniable. It does feel different. And that's across the board, no matter what age they are, no matter how long they've been together. You know that some of the people there, some of the guests there are in the camp. And I know this because grandmas and grandpas I've had, even for some of my young clients, that they're sitting back like, well, this is just wacky. Two women? I don't know about this phase, but they're there and they're seeing it. And the more people that are seeing something for the first time, that's how things become normal.
And right. It makes sense then.
Yeah. So when it is normal, I'll gladly call a wedding a wedding a wedding. But right now, we're not there yet. I still think there's a difference, and we should celebrate and elevate and make a big deal. Because it is a big deal. It wasn't that long ago that it wasn't, you know, possible. So, I mean, if I could just do this all day long, I would. But it is important to both of us that our businesses represent how we feel about weddings, and inclusivity and equality are a big part of that. And, you know, when I find out that certain vendors here in Texas, lovely professional vendors that have been here a long time, if I find out that they won't do gay weddings, I don't want to work with them for my straight weddings either, because that's my choice as a business person who I bring my clients to. And that's just the way that it is. Like, I think people will come around. Nobody's forcing them to. And, you know, everyone's making different choices for different reasons, but I try to make mine real obvious. Okay, so I wrote down some resources. We mentioned the Gay Wedding Institute and 14 Stories, and that's Bernadette's planning company. Bernadette Smith, and she has a book that I think is like the book if you want to learn about gay weddings. And this is especially important if you're in the industry listening to this. It's called The Business of Gay Weddings. I think she's on the second edition, so she's always catching up because, you know,
things
legally,
change. Laws
things are
change.
Changing.
Yep.
And then gayweddings.com is Wedding Wire's website for all things gay weddings. And that's where you can find vendor lists. Although, they're not all that curated, but it's a good place to start if you're looking for vendors in a certain region. that aren't going to like slam the phone down when you say you're a woman marrying another woman. It's definitely a good place to start as a resource. Word of mouth is going to be the best resource on that, I think. And then I'll post an article from bustle.com about the origins of Pride Month and what you need to know about its history. That was a really great article. And then I don't know if you know any photographers that specifically do. I mean, I know I'm going to list these three wedding photographers that do all weddings, but
like specialize in gay weddings.
Yes. Oh, yes. And no. Steph Grant, my friend, her stuff is always all over HuffPost. Like it gets just picked up.
Yeah.
Because she shoots mostly lesbian weddings and they're like gorgeous all over the world. She's like goes to Bali and then she'll be in New Orleans and then she'll be in Boston and just amazing, beautiful weddings with beautiful women. And the pictures are gorgeous. And that's Steph Grant, S-T-E-P-H Grant. And if you ever look at HuffPost lists about weddings, I guarantee you've seen some of her couples all, you know, reposted. And then another gentleman here based in Dallas, his name is Tony Valadez. And he shoots a lot of gay weddings that are gay men. And a certain level of budget and taste, I would say. High being both of those, kind of over the top. But he shot this awesome wedding that was part of a gay pride parade. Like they got married on a float in the parade live.
How fun.
And it was so cool. And they were both wearing like coordinating suits, but short suits, which I think are like the best trend to ever happen.
Nice.
And he got this great shot of them. I believe it was on the steps of some very important building in DC. You got this great shot of them kissing on these steps next to a person holding up a sign. I think it said like gays burn in hell or something horrible, but the person's holding up this sign, like looking all sourpuss, and the two of them look amazing and are kissing right next to him on these historic steps. And it's like the best juxtaposition. And then I found these two photographers that are a couple, Cindy and Sharon, and their wedding website is samesexweddingphotographers.com. And it looks like just your typical, like, middle America weddings. I think they're based in the South near Atlanta. Like, these look like people that are going to live next door to you, but all of them are gay. And they shoot, you know, really sweet photos of them for their wedding. So those are the three that I came up with. But I think most photographers, unless they make it clear, are going to do a great job for a gay wedding because the pictures are right there. I mean, everyone's so happy. So I'll include links to those. And I think that was all I had on my list.
Well, this was good. This was good. I hope everyone out there listening got some good tips and tricks, and happy Pride Month to you all.
Hey, send us your pics if you're LGBTQI anything or identify as queer. Like, we would love to post pics on Facebook and Instagram this month, and all we need, I mean, we'll credit however you want us to, but if you send us pics for Pride Month,
that would be great. We're trying to post as many as we can this month in honor of LGBTQ community. Love you guys.
Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Facebook is The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Twitter is TBWP Podcast. Our email, TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast. And we have a June newsletter that will come out soon. I'm working on putting that together. So again, if you are a patron at the $5 a month
or higher,
but you would be a recipient of the newsletter and keeping you in the loop about special stuff that we're doing and bonus episodes. And the most fun thing of all is the Skype consultation that Michelle and I will do together with you if you become a patron at a level. So please consider that if we're helping you at all, you know, we can keep doing good work if we're funded a little.
And remember that we are always available for hire, and we do consulting on an hourly basis. So you could be in another state, in another country, having your wedding in a few more months, and you feel like it's time to talk to a professional for a couple of hours and ask all that long list of questions, or something in particular you've been worrying about, or how do I deal with this, or can you look at my contracts and tell me if I'm missing anything? We will consult with you on an hourly basis via Skype or FaceTime, and it's really awesome. We're kind of good at it.
It's super fun, and you will get so much value out of that. Think about all the questions you have. Write them down. We'll talk to you.
All right. Have an awesome Wednesday, everybody, and rest of your week. Christy, love you, show. I'll talk to you next week.
Later.